Welcome again to our selection from the Psalms. In this session, we have chosen Psalm 119, which is the longest of all the Psalms. It's a tremendous psalm. And we look at the end of this psalm, you know, we find that it has 176 verses. Well, it's broken up into sections of 8, and it corresponds 8 verses to each one of the letters of the Hebrew alphabet. But it is a didactic psalm, meaning it's a teaching psalm. And it's a psalm that is very beautiful indeed. And the whole theme of this psalm is the Word of God and the blessings of those who read the Word of God, study the Word of God, meditate upon the Word of God, and above all, do His commandments. And so we're going to look at Psalm 119, and the first, a fact that we are acquainted with is that we are to be blessed. We are to be blessed. Here it is. Blessed are the undefiled in the way who walk in the law of the Lord. Blessed are they that keep His testimonies and that seek Him with the whole heart. And so we can have a blessing if we will do those things. If we will seek Him with all our heart and meditate in His word and do what that word says. Well, now then, obviously I cannot go from verse to verse. We haven't got the time. But I want to pick out choice verses in this psalm that I believe will be a great blessing to you. And the next verse we're going to look at is verse 9. And it's a question. Wherewithal shall a young man cleanse his way? You know, when we're young, and Paul, writing to Timothy, speaks of this, that, you know, there are youthful lusts that can regretfully destroy a young man. And so many young men give way to these youthful lusts with the result that they virtually destroy their life. You know, we think of these paternity suits. Look at the ruler of Monaco, who has had to confess that he has a child out of wedlock, and then goes on to say there could be other suits too. What a testimony. What a testimony for a ruler of a country. But you know, if you're a pastor, or if you're in church, you know, you're not there long before you hear of young men sowing their wild oats, going off with girls, getting them pregnant, having children out of wedlock, and then with the result, you know, they come to their senses and, you know, come back to the Lord. But you can't do away with something that has two arms and two legs. That's there forever. You know, if any young people would listen to their elders, you know, deal with those youthful lusts, because they're going to bring you into so much trouble. You know, I'm thinking of a certain young man. I looked at him and said, well, you're going to prison if you don't change. But he didn't listen. He went to prison and then a child out of wedlock and so forth. And the result is, you know, he's come back to the Lord. He's got straightened up. He's still got that child. And I wish he was the only one. There are so many like that. And so the psalmist, realizing the problem, he asks the question, well, how's a young man cleanse his way. And here is the answer: by taking heed therein according to thy word. In other words, if you would listen to your elders, you listen to the word of God, you won't make these tragic mistakes that so many have made. And then here is a key to not sinning. In verse 11, thy word have I hid in mine heart, that I might not sin against thee. And so the key is this, you know, to meditate, to read the word of God. And as King David said, thou desirest truth on the inward parts. In the inward parts you'll make me to know wisdom. And so you see, this word of God has to be in our minds, in our hearts, in our inward being. And if it is, then we shall not sin. It will hold us and prevent us sinning against God. Well, then, in verse 18, there is a very beautiful verse, and it's the prayer of the psalmist. And he says, open thou mine eyes, that I might behold wondrous things out of thy law. You see, the word of God, if we just read it as a book, is like reading a lot of letters. See, and the Apostle Paul said, the letter of the Lord killeth. You know, if we read it just like a normal book, it won't do us any good at all. But, you know, the Spirit giveth life. I remember a godly pastor who told me, he said, you know, I had a certain doctrine. He said, I wanted to hold on to that doctrine. And he said, every verse that was contrary to my doctrine, I turned over the page. Well, that was hardly a righteous thing to do. But God wanted to have this pastor for himself. And so there was a girl in his congregation, and she went astray. Now, the doctrine of the pastor was, you know, once you're saved, it doesn't matter what you do, you're still saved. Which, of course, a lot of baloney. And certainly contradicted by the Lord and his holy apostles, as well as the prophets in the Old Testament. But this girl went astray. And the pastor started to cry out for her, pray for her. And the Lord spoke to her, spoke to him and said, what about your doctrine? He said, why are you praying for that girl? It's because you realize that she is lost. Now how about your doctrine that says once saved, always saved? Well, the pastor came to himself. And then he had to realize, yes, holding a wrong doctrine saves nobody. And the result is, he confessed unto the Lord, and then following that, you know, he repented and said, I do not open my Bible without praying that God will show me wondrous things from his word. Now, the wonderful thing about this is that then the word of God becomes very personal to us. We not only see wondrous things from his word, but also God gives us wonderful promises. And that's what I want to speak on now. In verse 49, it says, remember the word unto thy servant, upon which thou hast caused me to hope. Cause me to hope. You know, as we come to the word of God and we cry out to God and say, oh God, speak to me. Speak to me. Speak to me out of your word. Give me something. Give me something. See? And as we do that, you know, we shall find sometimes, you know, verses leap out. And those verses are often verses of promise. You know, I have been struck quite recently with something that God caused me to speak to a certain pastor some 20 years ago. And I said to him, this is going to happen in your life. And I was recently on a trip, and I suddenly remembered what I had said to that pastor. And I thought, well, Lord, 20 years have passed, but what I said hasn't come to pass. Well, at least I had thought it hadn't come to pass. And then God brought a lady across my path. She said, do you know Pastor so-and-so? I said, oh, yes, I do. And she said, well, he's just been promoted into a certain position. I said, he has? She said, yes. And I thought, yes, 20 years ago, God caused me to speak to that pastor and say, you'll get into that position. What I'm saying is this, that what God speaks to us, as we listen to the words of King Jehoshaphat, he said, believe your prophets and then they will prosper. You will prosper. What I'm saying is this, when God gives you a verse, hold on to it. It will be fulfilled in God's due season. Think of Joseph. He had a dream. Two dreams, in fact. And essentially, what he was seeing was that his father, mother, and brethren would bow down before him. Well, here he was at 17 having this wonderful vision and telling his brethren and father. His brethren, of course, didn't appreciate it at all. His father kept it in his heart. Well, the amazing thing was this. Here, instead of that coming to pass, as he thought, you know, quite soon, what actually happened was he goes into Egypt, goes into an Egyptian prison, and do you know what it says? It says the word of the Lord tried him. In other words, that word kept coming back to him. Yes, God gave me the promise I'll rule over my brethren, but how is it going to come to pass? Here am I in Egyptian prison, and they are hundreds of miles away. How is this going to come to pass? But that word kept going over and over in his heart. God was testing him from it. And you see, I've had promises from God's word, and I thought, how ever can they be accomplished? But experience has taught me they will be if I believe and hold on to them. And so I want to encourage you, you know, come to the word of God and say, Lord, speak to me out of this. Speak to me out of this word. Give me a word, you know, that will give me hope in the situation in which I am in. Maybe it's a promise for a loved one, their conversion, they will change. Or perhaps is a promise for you that God will change your circumstances, or God will cause you, you know, to do certain things, that he will use you in a certain way. But hold on to what God tells you. You know, I've been in situations where I had great difficulties with people rising up against me, and I've had scriptures, fear not, fear not, fear not. You shall look for them and shall not see them. And you know that's come to pass. They've disappeared and I've remained. You see, it's so wonderful, this word of God. Yes, it's full of doctrine, full of teaching. It's prophetic. Tells you what the end is going to be. You know, and I keep getting, we will win. We will win. And when I think of all the terrorists, you know, God said, well, you're going to win anyway. In the end, they'll all be crushed when he returns again. And it's only for a short period that they seemingly are triumphant. But in the end, those terrorists are going to fall. God says, well, look, read the word of God. They're going to fall. The Antichrist, the false prophet, they're going to fall. All their followers are going to fall into the pit when the Lord returns. He said, look, look at it. From my perspective, you are going to win. Look at their end. They're going into hell. You're going into heaven. So why not rejoice? Well, there is that beautiful promise. You know, remember, Lord, the word you gave that caused me to hope. And hope maketh not ashamed, because you know the end of hope is love. The love of God is spread abroad in your heart by the Holy Ghost. And you come to love God in a way that you've never loved him before as you see this promise coming to pass. Well, there are some very good prayers in this psalm, and I'd like to present one to you. You know, where he says this, you know, teach me, and I'm looking at verse 66, teach me good judgment and knowledge, for I have believed thy commandments. Teach me good judgment and knowledge. You know how important it is to understand in the days in which we live, the prophet Isaiah cries out, wisdom and knowledge, judgment, good judgment, making good choices, wisdom and knowledge shall be the stability of our times. Oh God, give me good judgment, good judgment. Lord, that I might look at things and appraise them as you appraise them. And Lord, when I'm faced with situations and they require a choice, Lord, that I make the right choice. I make the right choice. And you see, if we make the right choice in every situation, you know what God has taught me? He said, look, if you make the right choice, you're going to get the fruits of that right choice. And he said, there's always a blessing in making the right choice. But how can we make the right choice? Because we don't know the end of the matter, but God does. So here is this beautiful prayer. Look, teach me good judgment. Teach me good judgment. Why don't you pray that? Lord, teach me good judgment and knowledge. Give me knowledge, Lord. Oh, the man with knowledge. How wonderful it is. Do you know, it says in Ecclesiastes chapter 2 and verse 26, it says this, that the man that pleases God, he gives wisdom, knowledge, and joy. They're the three very precious treasures of God. Wisdom, knowledge, and joy. You know, when you've got joy, you've got strength, and you're happy to do anything, aren't you? It always amazes me in supermarkets and things like this to see the husband and wife. The wife, full of joy, full of strength, you know, getting things, picking things off the counters and so forth. And then the husband, you know, just shuffling behind. One has joy, you know, the other doesn't. The wife is full of vigor, the husband's going, Well, there you are. Joy. Joy in doing the will of God. How wonderful that is. Well, we move on. And I'd like to look at another verse with you. And this verse, well, is 97. Oh, how I love thy law, and thy my meditation all my day. Thou, through thy commandments, hast made me wiser than mine enemies. I have more understanding than all my teachers, for thy testimonies are my meditation. You know, when I was at Bible school many, many years ago, I don't know, 60 years ago, something like that, and this was scripture I was given. I have a background in research science, certainly I wasn't a research scientist. I was a helper, an aide there. But there was always a desire to know, you see. And I'd gone to 3 Bible colleges. And when I, left the third one, I left it with such sadness. I said, Lord, I know everything. In fact, I learned all the lessons that my teachers had taught me. And I felt so empty. Well, it wasn't long before I went to a little Pentecostal church, lady pastor, and when she started to speak, I realized I knew nothing. You see, my teachers could only take me so far because that was their experience. But this little old lady had gone on. And then I realized, oh, there were such riches, such treasures in God's word. And God gave me the fulfillment of that I began to know more of my teachers. Well, I'd like to turn to you with you to another verse, and that verse is in, 158, and it shows the heart of a righteous man, and it says, "I beheld the transgressors, and was grieved." I beheld the transgressors and I was grieved. You know, as we travel from country to country, church to church, we see so much shallowness everywhere. We see iniquity in high places. Where's righteousness, there's also sin, as Ecclesiastes says. And then, to meet with teachers in secular schools and find out the terrible condition in schools in America today, where students answer the teachers back, where they actually swear at teachers. Now, in my day, that was called by Tom Brokaw the greatest generation. I mean, when a teacher entered the classroom, we all stood up. And we didn't sit down until the teacher gave us permission. Our teachers came in gowns, their bachelors or masters or doctorates in some cases. And we would sit down. We would not speak unless spoken to. If we had a question, we would raise our hands. We would not put that question until the teacher acknowledged us. Then, when the lecture was open, was finished, then we stood up as the teacher left the classroom. I'm appalled at the situation in classroom today. I have teachers who are weeping, who cry because of the condition of their students. Terrible, not listening. And then, seemingly the teachers are afraid of the students and they pass them even when they can't read or write. Oh, come now. The grief that one experiences. But there's coming an end of all that. And the Apostle Peter speaks on this wise. He said, "Oh, we desire the land of righteousness." That's going to come when the Lord Jesus Christ returns to earth and things are made right. We are going to pass through the most difficult times in the history of mankind as the time leads up to the appearance of the Antichrist and the false prophet. And the hearts of the righteous are made sad. But our encouragement is this: when the Lord returns, better days are coming. And we've got to be true in these days. We've got to be like Noah in his days. And his days were terrible days. But the Lord tells us, as in the days of Noah, so shall it be in the end times. What were those days? Days of violence, days of iniquity, days where all flesh corrupted itself. And look what we're seeing. I mean, sodomites everywhere, gay marriages permitted. Oh, all flesh is corrupting itself. But they that meditate upon the Lord, they shall enjoy peace. And although we grieve over the situations, if we will hold firm, we will be a shining light to our generation. We will be a voice of righteousness. We will be like a star that keeps its course. And others, although in the pits of despair and degradation, may well come to their senses and consider our lives and say, yes, they were right, and they will turn to the Lord and walk in the ways of God. And so, in closing this session on Psalm 119, may I encourage each one of you to study the Word of God, and in so doing, cry out to God, God, give me true judgment. And in so doing, we shall make the right choices in this wicked generation, and we shall shine as the stars forever and ever in the heavens above. May God make you a star of righteousness, a light in this time of great darkness. And you'll be so as you study the Word of God. May God bless you.